Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Banadhari. Jaya Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Banadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Banadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivakacharya Stotar Satashi Shimaji's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivakacharya Stotar Satashi Shimaji's Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. This comes founder, Charja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasatim vyasam. Tato jayamudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us first offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and of course to Srila Prabhupada, who brought Srimad Bhagavatam to the whole world, the whole universe, and especially to the West, which was filled with impersonalism and voidism. So we're reading today from Third Canto, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Is it loud enough? Oh, is it on? It's on? Is that better? I gotta speak right into it. Okay. Today's verse is verse 20. I'm beginning to think that this chapter is the longest chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sure it's not, but it feels like it. So this is Diti, her situation we've been hearing, and we can chant the verse. Yam ashrit yandriya ratim. Yam ashrit yandriya ratim. Durjayan itarashramai. Durjayan itarashramai. Vayam jaye mahe labhir. Vayam jamena he labhir. Dasyon durga patir yata. Dasyun Durga Patir Yata. Yamashrit Yendriya Ratin. Durjayan Itarashramai. Vayam Jaye Mahe Labhir. Dasyun Durga Patir Yata. Please chant. Yamasvindityaratin. Durjayan itarashramai. Vayam jaye mahe labhir. Dasyun durga patir yata. Yama Sritendriya Ratin. Durjayan Itarashramai. Vayam Jaye Mahelabhir. Dasyun Durga Patir Yata. Yama Sritendriya Ratin. Durjayan itarashramai. Vayam jaye mahe labhir. Dasyun durga patir yata. Yamasri yendriya ratin. Durjayan itarashramai. Vayam jaye mahe labhir. Dasyan Durga Patir Yata. Ladies? Yamasritendriya Ratim. Durjayam Itaraswamai. Yamasritendriya Ratin. Yam Itaraswamai. Vayam Jaye Mahelabhir. Dasyun Durga Patir Yata. Yam. Whom? Ashritya. Taking shelter of. Indriya, senses, aratin, enemies, durjayan, difficult to conquer, itara, other than the householders, ashramai, by orders of society, vayam, we, jayema, can conquer. Helabhi, easily. Dasyun, invading plunderers. Durgapati, a fort commander. Yata, as. Srila Prabhupada's translation. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers. By taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Please repeat. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Of the four orders of human society, the student or brahmachari order, the householder or grihastha order, the retired or vanaprastha order, and the renounced or sannyasi order, the householder is on the safe side. The bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort. And therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone, but one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society, unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Unless there is rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, and unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. There are so many instances of fall down, even for great yogis like Vishvamitra. A grihastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is the cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in three ashrams and is allowed only in the grihastha ashram. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahiyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Oh, I forgot. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm begging for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. It's not my nature really to prepare for class, so that's why I prefer to be a fill-in person, but I had a few days' notice, and I still don't know what to say. As I was reciting the prayers, I generally look to the acharyas one after another, begging for their mercy. So when I saw Jagannath Das Babaji's picture up there, I remembered that I had been intending to listen to the class that day, Friday, that was his disappearance day. But Friday morning, I got an email from my dear friend and godbrother through Satsrup Maharaj, Jaigur Sundar, who currently lives in Mayapur and whose wife passed away the day before in the afternoon. And then I heard that the funeral was to be observed that very morning. So I tuned into the funeral and listened to the glorification of this extremely chaste wife and good devotee and sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. And so, I think just knowing that there are such wonderful souls in this movement. I first met her and her husband probably late 79 when I moved to the Baltimore temple. They weren't yet initiated. They got initiated by Satsrup Maharaj in 1982. But, and her husband kindly sent me his homage that he sent to be read at the funeral ceremony. And I won't read you the whole thing, but one part of it really touched my heart. Because if anybody knew Komodaki, she could be very, even her granddaughter said, all of you know her as being very stern, but I know her as very loving. So let me find it because we've had other exchanges. Okay, so he said, they had actually eloped. They met in college and they eloped. So it's like very, doesn't happen 50 years ago in India. But he said, he starts up, anyway. I will enumerate both by expanding her qualities for my lifetime well-wisher as well as partner. In this position, sometimes I would chastise her, or vice versa, she would chastise me. But we tolerated each other due to our loving relationship. So I just thought that's so typical of, I think, anybody who lives together, husband and wife especially, becomes a very difficult situation because you see the other person's shortcomings, and if they have, if there's loyalty, as we heard just before the class, the loyalty to the spiritual master is such an important point. So Kamadaki's loyalty to the parampara was so strong, she really would correct everybody for everything. She made me cry one time because their deities were on one side of the room and a picture of Prabhupada was on the opposite side of the room, but up very high. And I was standing in the middle of the room and she corrected me because I shouldn't stand between Srila Prabhupada and the deities. I'm like, he can see over my head. But she was just passing on what she'd been taught, that, you know, we sometimes remember to make an aisle so Prabhupada could, but we have a very small temple room compared to how many people come on festival days. But, yeah, so just in terms of the wife being the commander of the fort, I was thinking also we heard in one of the many classes on this chapter that the quote about women being nine times lusty or so, it doesn't mention, but presumably the husband is the commander of the fort for the wife if she is feeling like that. You don't have to go out looking. You have your person here. That, but I also, it occurred to me, I heard it somewhere, that the only two real topics for like literature or drama, anything, is sex and death. And it's, I mean, you know, the love makes the world go round or lust makes the world go round, but people are looking for someone to love and to be loved. And so if you can find a faithful partner and center your life on Krishna, that is certainly a very safe place. And as we heard, I think from Krishna Kripa Prabhu, how the enemy is, well, from Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks, you know, what makes us act against our own best interests, even when we know we shouldn't? And Krishna said, it's lust only, Arjuna. It's the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. And it has conquered the senses, the mind, and the intelligence, or the sitting places of this lust. So in that purport, he read that from the very beginning of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one should take up the process of Krishna consciousness, and it's not too late to be protected from this all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. Because actually hearing of the pastimes and the loving exchanges between Lord Krishna and his eternal consort Srimati Radharani are the real cure for lust. And we have to hear them in parampara from the realized soul. I remember getting Krishna book, one of the first two books I got, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. And you cannot mistake what these relationships are because of Prabhupada's, what does he say? Summary study means I can do as I like. So like in some places, Lord Brahma is saying, as I said in the Brahma Samhita. or Krishna tells him, as I said in the Bhagavad Gita. the point is we're meant to, actually, we, of course, have this desire to love and be loved, and it's because we are part and parcel of Krishna, who is Raso Vaisa, the reservoir of all loving relationships. So we also want to love and be loved, and we can do by taking shelter of Krishna, Guru, and if we're in a married relationship, taking shelter of the loving, faithful husband or wife. And if we happen to be among the countless people in Kali Yuga that aren't in that situation, we can still take shelter of Guru and Krishna and Krishna's holy name, which is non-different from Krishna himself and is more merciful than Krishna himself. And since we're about to celebrate Lord Chaitanya's advent 439 years ago, we can also remember how, 539 years ago, sorry, that he came to give this highest love of God to even the most fallen. So, as I said, I'm not so inclined to prepare for classes, but today's also the disappearance day of Sri Purushottam Das Thakur. So I read about him, I printed out what I could find about him, and he was, he was also known as Nagar Purushottam. He was previously the cowherd boy named Daman in Braj. He is now born in a Vaidya family as the son of Sadashiva. That was from the Guru Ganesha Deepika. So I won't read the whole thing, but it was interesting to me that in his family, there were four generations of eternally perfect direct associates of Mahaprabhu. So, yeah, when you think about it, 500 years ago, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. This is in the recent history. It's at least we studied that time in our history books. Those personalities are known. Oh, yeah, it's not that long ago. And Lord Chaitanya was here with many, many, many eternal associates of Krishna. And some of them were Lord Nityananda's associates, cowherd boyfriends. So, Purushottam Thakur's wife was named Janava Devi. She died while her son Kanu Thakur was just a young child. Nityananda Prabhu named the boy Shishu Krishna Das. It is said that Nityananda Prabhu's wife Janava Devi adopted Kanu and took him with her to Vrindavan. Some say that he was also one of the 12 Gopals. Disciples of Purushottam Thakur has written a prayer. I worship Sadashiva Kaviraj, that was Purushottam Das's father, with great attentiveness. He was constantly intoxicated with love and had no external consciousness. I bow down to my worshipable Lord Purushottam Thakur, who can list his incomparable qualities. He was merciful to those who were devoid of virtue, displaying the natural power of his compassion. When I read that, I thought, oh, this is exactly Lord Nityananda's mood, is Lord Chaitanya's mood, it's Srila Prabhupada's mood, it's Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood. It's like merciful to those who have no virtue. And we are all recipients of that mercy. Maybe some of us were lucky enough to be born in pious families and grow up with all good association, but a lot of us weren't. And that was no bar for Srila Prabhupada to come and give his mercy. And he did not, although certainly he was aware of our conditioning, our place in the world, but what he actually saw was the spirit soul. He saw a part and parcel of Krishna when he looked at everyone. So you felt that and you wanted to respond to that. And that's why one lone person coming with no money and no support except for a couple months of a family in Butler, Pennsylvania, and leaving their house with a bag of coins for the laundromat in New York City has started a movement that has gone over all over the world, and just now in Kumbh Mela he was honored as being the universal guru. So how is it possible? How is it possible? And it's because of this deep, deep compassion. And so we're charged with also being conveyors of that compassion, not thinking, oh, I'm doing okay. I'll just do my sadhana as best I can and associate with all the other devotees that are my friends, but like Dibyanga Prabhu and many others, and some that can't go out distributing books directly, but somehow manage to try to give Krishna to others in our daily lives as best we can. We want to become instruments in Lord Chaitanya's army, soldiers or instruments or just some little, what is it? Yeah, just some little part of this mercy mission. So, I have one other thing that I can read, but I thought I'd see if anybody has any comments or questions at this point. Pran Govinda Prabhu. Wait for the mic. So many people will listen online now or later.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Shikshastakam commentary, he writes, "For when someone does good sadhana, you cannot say, or how do I put it? You cannot say, I'm doing sadhana, but the compassion to help others, also to bring them to Krishna, are not arising in my heart. That's not possible. Then maybe in the name of sadhana, there is something else is going on between. Because he said, four things must arise. Dainya, daya, manadena, amani. This must come. And the second one is jibe daya. It must arise. If I am following good sadhana every day, then automatically compassion to deliver others comes.
Nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Trivikram Prabhu.
So Srila Prabhupada commented in the purport that the Grihastha, he seems to be in the safest position. You have the brahmachari, the vanaprastha, the sannyas. I mean, they can, you know, intermittently be affected by, you know, the material energy. And then, unless they have strong sadhana and, you know, strong spirituality, it'd be difficult for them. See, very, very difficult, really. But a grihastha maybe. But also, it doesn't mean a grihastha should be complacent also.
Oh, of course not.
Because even with his wife too, he can experience falldom.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
And right. So that is something to be noted. And
yeah, thank you.
Fundamental.
And one reason why we're so grateful to Pran Govinda Prabhu for actually hosting a brahmachari ashram here in Alachua so that people can experience the togetherness. When you were describing, I was remembering a friend of mine who, a godbrother through Satsarup Maharaj, who had a business. After we had all done the painting business, then many devotees made it their own business. So I worked for him one summer with a god sister, and he was at that time not so involved in his sadhana, though he's picked it up again and spends 6 months a year in Vrindavan. But at that point, he was reminiscing about his first coming to Krishna consciousness, and it was all these brahmacharis, I think, you know, having kirtan that just went this way down the temple room and that way up the temple room, and they were so enlivened and so full of devotional energy that he, you know, was just swept away to join the movement and give his life to Krishna. So brahmachari life can be extremely sheltering and empowering, particularly when you're together with others that are practicing. I
lived, I was remembering when I first moved to Baltimore Temple, they had just got a new house down the street from the then temple, and it was a ladies' ashram. And so shortly after that, Satsuru Maharaj, who was the guru of that area, came to go through the house and look at it. And those days were very strong because we did have a lot of camaraderie and service together. There's always difficulties, but temple life, when there's many people together, like Mukhi always says, festival time, you go in the kitchen and working together, doing service together, cutting vegetables or cleaning, or like we're looking forward to the Gundicha Marjana this Saturday, working together, serving with other devotees is such a bond. And that's where your deepest relationships tend to stay, people with whom you've served. Ekadasi Vrata. And she gave such a nice class the other day. I was so happy to hear it.
Seems that when reading this purport, a person could get maybe the misunderstanding that the partner, whether the husband or the wife, both ways, that the partner is there for sense gratification whenever I want, uh-huh, my partner is there and uh-huh. has to satisfy.
Right.
So I wondered if maybe you wanted to just kind of elaborate on how that's not what Prabhupada is saying here.
Well, it's not, but since you have the mic and you've lived in that ashram more than I have, maybe you could elaborate a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, it just seems that there's, you know, it's important also, I mean, that is there, but the both partners have to also respect each other and see each other as devotees. But this person was given to me by Krishna, and I have to take care of them and give them back to Krishna. And so, I can't just see them as my, you know, whatever, my sense grat, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right,
you know.
Right. Yeah, not my property.
Yes.
This other person is also Krishna's servant.
Yeah,
and
yes.
I should honor and respect them and in that way. And for everyone, every conditioned soul who's coming to Krishna consciousness, like what did it say? Sex life is the cause of material bondage. So I remember, I don't think there's any other more powerful way to convince somebody that they are their body than to engage in sex. So if somebody's trying to learn, I'm not this body, then restraint is much more helpful than engaging. So out of mutual respect, one should try to limit even within Grihastha Ashram. Thanks for that. Hemavati.
Yeah, surprisingly, I read this morning. It says, Vedic civilization means the husband should be a sincere servant of Krishna and the wife should be a sincere maidservant of the husband.
Sweet. Yeah, that's very perfect. Thank you. And Ragatmika has something to say.
Actually, in Ekadasi's class the other day, she gave the remedy. If one can't observe just the once a month, intercourse, then she said, at least, this is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, at least regulate, make mm-hmm. a plan mm-hmm. how we can regulate, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, because by regulation, things can be reduced.
Right, right.
That goes with any, what do you call it, obsession we have or to indulge in anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any kind of sense gratification. At least regulate it now. Regulate it.
Right. Thank you. That's important. Okay, I have something on a different topic that I thought of sharing. Wait for the mic. Just now coming.
When we talk about Varna Ashram,
yes.
Varna, we are born with a psychophysical nature. As the time passes, we feel that arjas comes or demand. These are already in the subtle body. So varna means we are born with particular nature. We are going to face it whether we like or not, doesn't matter. Ashram, we are not born with. Ashram, it's a time-sensitive commitment to progress spiritually. So, and ashram also has to have a leader. Without leader or guru, there is no ashram. I cannot just get married and I say I am a grihastha ashram. Mm. That's not what it is. Mm. Any, whether brahmachari, banaprastha or sannyas, there has to be a guru who you follow, then ashram. So there has to be mentor or someone to see what psychophysical nature I am born with at a particular time that is manifesting and to guide that person. That, okay. Also another point that if I don't have a higher purpose, just strict regulation is not going to work.
Right, right. What will repression accomplish?
Correct. Even treating each other is not going to really help as much unless we both have a higher purpose.
Right, right.
That has to be focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very nice. Yeah, and on Ragatmika's point about, and Ekadashi's point about regulation, I was remembering how both times that Maharaj gave class during this chapter, he said, just a few seconds. If they could have waited just a few seconds, that's what the Bhagavatam said, they wouldn't have had to have Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu as their offspring. But, of course, we need the pastime so Prahlad Maharaj can come, so Nrisingadev can appear, and all these things. But that's to emphasize the value of restriction and regulation. You know, just... And sometimes just by... Like, they even say that with regard... There's so many urges, sex is one of them, but the urge to speak. If you're angry, they say, count to 10. Before you say anything, don't just blurt out what you're thinking, and it may give you time to calm down and consider what might be the result. Am I saying these insulting words to a person who's sensitive or low self-esteem? You know, actually, just let that pause come in so that we can, is this in my best interest to be overcome by anger? Or just say anything that comes to mind? A memory that remembers shlokas sometimes or quotes from Prabhupada's books and many, many, many 60s and 70s rock songs. So they're not always the best thing to bring into a conversation. Sometimes it's okay, but, you know, I have to learn, okay, I don't have to sing it every time. But anyway, so I work at the TOVP. And whether I did or not, people know that the TOVP just opened the first wing of a new museum for Srila Prabhupada's paraphernalia. And that reminded me that in 1989, Satsrup Maharaj published, he was doing a series of books by about a fictional devotee named Nimai. And in one of the books, Nimai's Detour, Nimai, the fictional brahmachari, wrote a short story. And the short story is called Remembering Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue. Now, when this book was written, there had not been ISKCON stewardship of 26 Second Avenue for many years. So it was just in the wishful imagination of the author and the fictional brahmachari. But I won't read the whole thing. It's not that long, but I'll read you parts of it. The ISKCON officers in New York considered it a very fortunate day when they were able to once again rent Prabhupada's old apartment at 26 Second Avenue. To celebrate repossession of the apartment, devotees gathered for a Prabhupada memory night. Their plan was to turn the apartment into a museum. Devotees who had paraphernalia from Prabhupada's early days had agreed to donate it in an attempt to set up the apartment just as it was when Prabhupada was present. So then so many devotees came, and some of the early devotees, Mukunda Maharaj, Rupa Nuga Prabhu, Brahmananda, brought their paraphernalia that they had. They talked about what it was like being there. We sometimes get to hear Maharaj reminiscing about his exchanges with Prabhupada. And so as the stories were told in the original setting, the devotees looked at different parts of the room and tried to savor what it had actually been like. So Mukunda Maharaj took them into the second room of the apartment and told how his wedding had been performed there and how the room had filled up with smoke from the fire yajna, but Prabhupada would not open the window for fear of disturbing the neighbors with the smoke. So like that. But then what happened was they all left and they said, oh, we should have monthly meetings like this. After all the devotees had left and the lights were turned out and the door locked with a double lock, the rooms fell into silence. But the remembrances of Prabhupada had been so sweet and intense that Prabhupada's various paraphernalia began speaking among themselves just to continue the Vaishnava Katha. The first to speak was the trunk, which was battered and painted yellow. It's so nice to be back with all of you, he said. I remember how Prabhupada used to sit behind me and sometimes touch me with his lotus feet. The devotees would sit over there by the wall. Everyone noticed me, although I'm just an ordinary Indian trunk. I can never forget those days when I served Prabhupada as a writing desk and so many other things. Yes, I remember you, said Prabhupada's rubber shoes. No one knew at that time that later Prabhupada would have many elegant desks. You were the first, at least in America. Now, of course, my memories range far and wide. I bore the lotus feet of the pure devotee when he walked the streets of New York. It is very extraordinary because I am just a humble pair of shoes from India. I read about you, said Swamiji's spectacles, which were sitting in a glass case on the desk. There is mention in the biography of Prabhupada that the lady in Pennsylvania saw her child going to bite into Swamiji's shoes, and she thought, oh, those shoes have been all over India. Yes, little did she know, said the shoes, how fortunate I am. Prabhupada used to walk the streets of Manhattan, sometimes through the snow, and I would get all wet. How I wished I could protect his lotus feet. But he never complained. As you know, Swamiji actually treated all of his paraphernalia very tenderly. He never slammed things down or abused things because he saw us all as Krishna's energy, something to be used in Krishna's service. I can read a little more if you like. We still have 5 minutes. Okay. I can vouch for that, said the stainless steel letter opener on his desk. Swamiji used to open his letters very carefully. He used me in a way that very few letter openers are used. He not only opened the letter, but slit all the corners of the letter and then turned it inside out and used it later for writing notes. He handled me so delicately and placed me down gently, always in the same place. He was methodical. Don't forget us, said the walls. We have observed so many things. One time Prabhupada even said that his spiritual master said, if no one else listens to you, talk to the four walls. And many times early in the morning, Prabhupada would get up and speak to the four walls. Actually, he was speaking and chanting and singing to Krishna in his heart. But no persons were present except us. So we were able to see Swamiji in the very beginning of his days in New York. Before anyone else really appreciated, we heard him, we four walls. Isn't that amazing? Hemavati. Right, right, right. Right, and that's what I meant when I said, like, if you can't go out with the books into the parking lots, as some devotees do, you know, do some, we could be some little tool for Krishna, something. Try to, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was actually thinking I should get all just these pages and see if they can make a little booklet for the museum in Mayapur. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. And that he wrote all this when it was out of ISKCON's hands. So amazing. Okay. Thank you very much.
What inspired you to do that? Because in a higher dimension, everything is conscious.
Right.
There's no such thing as matter.
Right.
In a higher dimension.
Right.
But what made Sarsal Manas to come up with this? This is very
He was one of the people that was there at 26 Second Avenue. So he could see, when he's writing these, it's from his memory. He watched Prabhupada take the envelope, slit it with a letter opener. He saw that. So, yeah.
He's written so many.
Oh, so many.
Many books.
Yeah, I remember one that was set in Ireland. It was like he brought Prabhupada to that place. I remember being in tears reading it because it was so vivid. I don't remember which book it was, but yeah, no, this is using the writing tendency. You said a person is born with a particular tendency. So he would have written in any case, but he got to be there and write about such things. So everybody use whatever it is you have, dancing, singing, sewing, ragat. Oh, yeah.
From the viewpoint of observers.
Right. No,
same pastime.
Yes, there were three of them, and one of them was about...
Prahlad?
It was one of Prahlad's classmates.
Oh, okay.
One of Prahlad's classmates that went home and told his father, and the father's diary is the book, and it's called Am I a Demon or a Vaishnava?
Okay.
I've got that book. It's so great. I always...
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
another one was Lord Chaitanya passed on.
Chaitanya Daya.
Sri
Chaitanya Daya. And that's from a pujari that had a fall down? Something like that. But he or his wife heard a kirtan from somebody that had been in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. So all the shastric references, the references are shastric.
Yes, the context.
But and actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote about when he did that play Jagannath Priya Natakam. He described that the Vaishnava way of drama, it's or the way of writing, it's not like Western that it has to be chronological, it has to be accurate. But if the Siddhanta is true, and if the rasa is true, then you can write that drama. So both these things were there in these books.
So that reminds me of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami's piece called Paramahamsa Thakur. Yeah. Remember that one? Yeah. We had a play on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Was
that the
talk
one,
about Siddhanta.
Was that the one about Prabhupada's departure?
No.
Okay, because
it
there
was about
one
Prabhupada coming to the West, but getting all the blessings of all the previous acharyas.
Oh, right.
We had maybe 30 different individuals who played parts. Shesha Prabhu played Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Oh, wow, cool.
And Sri Gaurangi's husband played Prabhupada.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
That was ecstatic.
Tamal Krishna Maharaj also wrote a play about Prabhupada's departure, very short, but it had Chitraleka and her older daughter, I know her name, and Soumya, who was a toddler. They were in the play, you know, the characters. It was there was a third one of Satsrup Maharaj's fiction, but I know it was. It was about the person who was a hunter, Murghari the hunter. So it was on, I can't remember who the character was, but it was that pastime. That's what I don't remember. It's been a while since I read that one. I don't remember. I can't remember either, but there were those three. Am I a demon or a Vaishnava? Sri Chaitanya Daya, and I'll have to ask Baladev or somebody. What was the third one?
Murghari,
All the animals.
Well, no, listen, it was from the viewpoint of Murghari himself, but he's an old man, an old sadhu the forest. It's quite interesting.
Talking to who?
Talking to the animals.
Sweet. And
the
animals are. I would have killed you in my former life, right?
Very amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so many people can do. We don't know the half of what's been done. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.